Well, welcome to the show, everyone. I know we don't have a fancy overlay today, but I am going to try to very fancily show our sponsors for today's episode, Grow Generation. Let's see if this works.
Grow Generation, where the pros go.
Okay, well, there we go. Yeah, I've definitely got some editing stuff to do now. Wonderful. Blank space there. God, I hate when the routine is thrown off. But
yeah, it derails everything. And yeah, I've been there.
Yeah. So welcome again. Just in case I didn't get to it didn't come through. Thanks for joining LR Mornings today with Kyle and
Christine. Hi.
And it's Tuesday, and that means we're definitely going to get into a little bit of tech news, and there's not been a whole lot of entertainment news. There's been some odds and ends. You know, everyone, of course, all about Falcon and Winter Soldier right now, which has been phenomenal. How are you liking that show?
Love that show. It's always disappointing when it ends because it's like, I want to watch more. Why can't I binge? So
I do know what really sucks about it is when they moved, because we only got 2 weeks left, two episodes left. And originally, you know, Black Widow was up next. We were supposed to see that in May 7th. Like, basically, it was going to be like, Disney was going to have Marvel on every week this year, just about, with like a 2 week break in between projects.
Yeah.
But they moved Black Widow and didn't move Loki up, which is now, you know, staying in June. So we're going to get about a month or so with no new Marvel stuff.
Sad.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily a big fan of that. If you guys check out lrmonline.com, let's see, can I? Oh, look, there it goes. I'm in the studio mode, and I think it's working. Anyways, yeah, we've got Marvel stuff, all Falcon and Winter Soldier. What's coming up next? Loki, but one of the interesting things that did come up, of course, is this old show. Whoops, check out the ads there. Old show that actually never aired. Star Wars Detours. A lot of episodes, 30 some odd episodes, I think, were completed. But the buyout from Disney and stuff, they decided not to go this route. It was a Star Trek Lower Decks before Star Trek Lower Decks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Seth Green was involved and some other comedy people at Robot Chicken, I believe. And this is coming back.
Cool.
Not just the 30-some-odd episodes that were finished, but like they went and finished the other like 20 episodes that were at various levels of completion. And yeah, that is actually the first new Star Wars thing that I'm interested in seeing. What about you?
Yeah, I want to see it. I mean, you said Seth Green and I'm like, yeah, I'm in. So
it's funny to see Disney, Lucasfilm going back to all this stuff that they ignored or canceled or gave up on or what have you, and then all of a sudden when their new stuff isn't doing as hot as they had hoped or wished or whatever, boom, let's bring back the old.
Yeah, that's smart.
What do you think it is about these studios and even some of these fan groups out there where they look at like bringing back old stuff as something bad, something wrong, like Ghostbusters, for example. You have people that are legitimately angry that they didn't continue on Paul Feig's and the Answer the Call ladies version.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, how dare you bring back the old people. But you also have people in that group on the extreme opposite side where it's like, if it's not OG Ghostbusters, it's garbage. Like, there's no in between. And you literally have both sides like shouting at each other. You're not a real fan. No, you're not a real fan. I was here first. Well, you don't like the new stuff, so you're not a real fan, because a real fan loves that. Like
all it, the bickering and right, yeah.
But the studios themselves have obviously noticed a lot of their choices aren't necessarily popular.
Yeah, like some projects haven't done well, and you know you have to. If there's no money in it, like you're not making the money that you were wanting, then obviously you're doing something wrong, or you're doing something that isn't popular. Not necessarily wrong, but yeah, it isn't popular. So change it up a little bit, see how you can fix it. But yeah, like something that comes to mind when you were talking about like the old versus the new, that last season of Scrubs.
Mm-hmm.
Comes to mind. I didn't look at it as Scrubs. I looked at it as something slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wasn't
like a spin-off.
Exactly. I wasn't expecting the old show, because you'll never capture that magic that it had. And right. I freaking love that show. So when I was looking at it, I thought, yeah, this is decent. I like it. If they come out with another season of this, I'll watch it. But then, you know, people were mad. They didn't like it. Didn't see it with fresh eyes, different, you know, a different mm-hmm. view of it. So same thing with this. It's like, you know, you can like something, but see it different. Like you were just arguing, or not really arguing, but talking about like Ghostbusters, like the first movie versus the second movie, mm-hmm. where you saw it a little different. Your dad didn't really like the second movie.
Yeah.
Right.
Most of like people my age are our parents that, you know, may have liked the first movie and got us into the franchise weren't necessarily fans of the second film. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like you have to look at it a little different. Like the first movie is its own thing. The second movie, I enjoyed it.
I did too.
But like with Star Wars, it's try to look at it a little differently. And see how that goes instead of it just being like purist attitude.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. That's just me. Like I look at it as slightly different.
Yeah. It's the kind of like thing I want to get at with Disney and Lucasfilm on this is it's with those fans, you guys got to understand who spends money, who actually, you know, puts passion into their fandom and look, that's not like taking anything away from people that are I don't want to say fair weather, like casual fans. There's the phrase. You can be a casual fan. Nobody's saying that you have to have a setup like mine to be a real, you know, Ghostbusters fan, or I don't mean the cartoon. I mean, like, you know, everyone's a real fan. And just mm-hmm. everyone's a fan of something different. But on the business side of things, it's like the discussion I had with Nick last week. It's the most successful franchises are not the ones that ignore their base or their original fans.
Yeah.
The ones that try to just drastically drags something into modern day, whether it's modern day politics or modern day society, modern day ideologies, whatever the case may be, depending on the property, it might not be good for that original group. And depending on the popularity, you run the risk of like a High Republic situation with Disney, where yeah. it's like you're appealing to such a small group with this project, and yet you're wanting to dump these funds into it, and yeah, we see the YouTube video, we see you guys try to hide, you know, High Republic stuff on Instagram or Facebook or whatnot. And then you guys come out and go, oh fuck, shit's not selling. Reprint some Legends books, slap new art so we don't have to pay the estate or the artist of the original, you know, cover work, and let's release that. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, Lucasfilm 50th anniversary coming up, they're releasing a bunch of Legends books with new cover art and stuff. Yeah. It's like, why can't we have both?
Yeah, and it's, I think with all of this, it's just kind of, it's a mix of every little thing, you know, going on. It seems like there's a lot going on. There's, you know, like you had mentioned, like, you know, ignoring the past, and then
talking about the fan groups and
yeah, where it's like there's a lot going on with this whole thing, where too much can change, not embracing slight change. So it's, there's like a lot going on, and it's just like a lot of chaos. So like with my opinion on some things, it's just like, yeah, there's this, and yeah, there's that, and then this too. And it's just kind of like, just feels like so many people are arguing and there's like a bunch of noise. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I can see it that way. When it comes to, when it comes to fandoms, I try not to, you know, one of the things I really try not to do on this show is get like into political ideology of things, right? Like, yeah. I don't want to do right versus left. I don't want to say the C word or the L word or the R word or D word or any of that. But there is this thing that people connect to politics. I don't think it's as much political as it is a societal thing, and a way that we raise people these days. I see it all the time. You're not a real fan. Why do you hate this and only like that? Whether it's Ghostbusters, Star Wars, Star Trek. Yeah. You know, look at the people that hated Abrams movies, the people that hate Discovery, and then the people that love Abrams movies, and people that love Discovery. All of that.
Yeah, just like what you like. You don't have to like everything.
Yeah.
And
people don't have to like everything.
Yeah, don't get mad about it. Like, I like the new Star Trek movies. Mm-hmm. I liked Star Trek growing up.
Not me, but I like the new ones.
Yeah, but for me, it's just kind of like, I guess I don't want to say I'm easy to please, but I can see how things are different. It's meant to be different. You're never going to capture that magic that you liked in this one show, in this one movie again. But see it in a different light, or just if you don't like it, don't watch it.
Yeah.
You know, just simple as that. And you can like parts of it, like with the Star Wars, the newer Star Wars movies. There's parts that I like in the movies, and there's parts I don't like. you know. But I'm not going to say I completely despise the whole thing, because that's not true. There were parts that I enjoyed and parts I didn't. But I'm not going to come at people, you know, and be vicious about this, you know, these movies. And I will say that with the Solo movie, I didn't like it at all. But I'm not going to be mean about it to someone who does. It's like, okay, well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. You know, it's good to get pleasure from something, you know, whether it be, you know, books or music, movies, TV shows. Just, yeah, there's just a lot of hostility, and it's all around.
Yeah. I gotta, to anyone out there, both are horrible. You're sorry, but you're a garbage person if you're trying to kick out old fan hands, or a garbage person for trying to keep new fans out. Both gatekeeping does happen, and it's not always, again, people want to tie it to they want to project their own often insecurities onto what's, you know, being said or whatnot. I always had this thing where I tell people, no one forces you. Like when someone's in a forum and they go, I don't like Tom Holland's Spider-Man. Right. They're like, that's not my Spider-Man. I like Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man. Anyways, but you'll have someone eventually will come on there and be like, oh, you know, that's not real Spider-Man, and this is why. Sometimes it's a good debate and conversation. And then sometimes that person gets really defensive and they're like, well, Maguire sucks, Holland sucks, this is only Garfield is good, this is why, and if you don't like it, then don't talk. Like how are you going to tell someone not to give their opinion? As long as, and look, if someone could say it's garbage, and that's still not hateful, it's not mean, it's just their opinion. And you don't ever, no one out there, any movie, any show, any article, book, comic, no one has to read or hear anything more than the time it takes for your brain to realize that you're getting input that you don't want. Like, that's it. As soon as you realize that this is an opinion or story that you don't want to hear, see, listen to, read, your brain realizes it very, very quickly. Like, legitimately, stop being offended by everything.
Yeah.
People are allowed to like and dislike whatever they like and to dislike for whatever reason. And whether that reason is a blind loyalty to a particular comic writer, a director, or whatever, or it's out of blind allegiance to a political ideology. For fuck's sake, people are like that too. Whatever your purpose is for liking or disliking something, just like it or dislike it. Talk about it. And if somebody doesn't want to talk about it with you on either end to agree or disagree, that's fine too. I swear to God though, if you're one of those people out there like saying things like that saying, you have to love everything in a franchise or you're not a real fan. Fuck you. And if you're one of those people that are like, oh, I've been here since the beginning, and unless you can tell me who the key grip in scene 36, take 4, which was, like, if you're one of those, fuck you too. So let's be better fans. Let's be better people and realize that we all have assholes, which means we all have opinions, right? Isn't that the way the saying goes? Something like that.
Yes.
And everyone's opinion, regardless of how pure and innocent it may be, or how vile and disgusting their opinion may be. They're at least in you know, countries with speech protection rules and laws, they are at very minimum still human beings with the life-given, God-given, evolutionary brain growth-given right of free thought to have that opinion, no matter what you feel on it. And I really need fans to be fans again. And
I remember something that just popped in my head. We had this friend that could, like, in music, he would, like, subgenre, oh, God, everything. Yeah. But I don't remember him ever saying anything nasty about anything. I don't know if he said it anything to you, but he never was, like, he didn't stick his nose up at anything. No. And so it's like, yeah, that was his passion. That's what he loved.
He was a bit pretentious with the, like, that's not really hardcore. That would be post emo,
yeah, but he wasn't
modern,
like,
hardcore, yeah. Crab noise punk underground indie core. What? Okay, sure.
Yeah, but
I like it. Yeah, whatever.
And that was it. I was like, I like it, but I don't have your skill level to fine tune everything. And if that's how your brain works, that's okay.
Yeah.
And if it's not, where you don't have that ability, where someone's like, okay, well, what'd you think of this tiny little detail? And you're just like, even pick up on that. Like, I'm one of those that, you know, sometimes I miss a few things and I don't have everything memorized.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay too. You know, just your brain works a certain way and we're all different, and just have fun.
Yeah. I completely agree. And like I said, we could be better fans out there. Mm-hmm. That's not saying don't debate, by all means, please. And debate us.
Yeah.
You know, you can find me at that Kyle Malone on Twitter. You guys can join in the comment section, whether you're watching on YouTube, on the website. We got a comment section on the website. If you're listening in podcast form on SoundCloud or Spotify or something. I know SoundCloud's got comments. I think Spotify does. I know Apple does. The point is, join in the conversations and don't silence other. Don't try to silence other people. Instead, if you don't want to hear it, you don't listen to it.
Yeah, don't be part of the conversation, or just say, I respectfully disagree, and here's why. And the other person's like, well, I don't agree with that. And then it's like, okay, then we don't agree.
Yeah.
And that's
fine. You can either continue to debate and have fun with it. And even getting angry sometimes and yelling and ranting and getting super passionate,
that's fine too.
That can make for great entertainment. And if somebody is really clever with their humor, and both parties start taking those nice, you know, like, ribbing shots at it, that's what fandoms are all about. Look at classic rivalries between Star Trek and Star Wars, Marvel, DC, Army versus Marines. You know, always, you know, Army guys, Jarhead this, what's it sound like when shit hits the fan? Marine, jokes like that. And the Marines, they rag on us too. And all of that, guys, is healthy. And again, we're raising people to one, not have resiliency.
Yeah.
And that's so dangerous. And that feeds directly into this thing that you see online with these fandoms, these fan groups, these message boards, Facebook groups, what have you. It's literally people are unable to cope with you having a different opinion than them. That is what it comes down to. They cannot deal that you don't love what they love, because all they've ever been told in their life is that everything they do is gold, everything they love is right, and anything that's different is mean, or they're incredibly sheltered, they're not exposed to different opinions, they're never exposed or taught how to cope with that.
Yeah, like I remember seeing this comic little piece a long time ago, just this drawing where it was like, you know, in the past it was, you know, the child had bad grades and then the parents are looking at the child like, what did you do, kind of thing. And then it turns into present day and it's the parents yelling at the teacher, you know, and then the kids, like, they're just kind of smug, like, yeah, this isn't on me. And it's like, but it's, you know,
it's your grade.
Yeah. So it's,
unless you've got a legit learning disability
and work harder. I mean, I had that problem, and I had to take tutoring.
Yeah.
And I've tutored.
And to students and teachers out there, my father's a high school teacher, public high school teacher. My sister's a private high school teacher. Both teach different subjects. We're not completely speaking out of our asses. It's secondhand knowledge, not firsthand, but it's not thirdhand knowledge. We're not completely outside looking in.
Yeah, and we are parents.
And we are parents as well.
Our kid is in school, so it's like we see that, and like when there's bad grades or something, like with our son, it was PE. It's like, you aren't participating.
Yeah,
obviously, like, it's PE. Just
yeah. And then we got with the teacher and we're like, what can we do, because our son does have not learning disabilities, he's got other behavioral health issues, and it was like music was bugging him with PE, and it's like, okay, can he not listen to the music, but, you know, mimic movements and stuff on virtual? And we got it worked out, and he's straight A's across the board now. So, you know, it's golden. Resiliency, guys. Get out there, talk to each other, have fun, debate. And if you are sensitive, I personally think being oversensitive is bad for your health. It's bad for your brain, your mental health. Like, if you're constantly upset, like, people will look at me, oh, you're always upset at Sony. You guys realize part of this is kind of entertainment, right? Like, I am very much this person and this passion about things, but I do try to entertain you guys sometimes with podcasts and videos. Like, when I was trying to be that asshole for the Marvel multiverse things, I was going to be the guy that, you know, smacking this theory and raising this one over here, and some fans didn't quite get that. And that's fine. But if you're one of those types, I would highly suggest that you start reaching out to society to expose yourself to things and get some resiliency.
Yeah, I've had to do that. Like, for me, I used to take things very personally, and sometimes I still do, where it's kind of like, if someone said something negative to me, it would kind of hurt more and all of that. But I was self-aware, and I knew, it's like, okay, just calm down. There's, you know, find out what's going on and communicate.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah.
Nice. Well, what will also be nice is this awesome ad from our sponsors over at Grow Generation. Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. Grow Generation offers the best deals and discounts on the best grow products on the market. Grow Generation serves customers across the nation and carries a wide inventory of renowned cultivation brands. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow. Thank you guys so much. Hopefully that all worked out right, and I don't have much to do in post. I hope.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird day.
Yeah, we'll see. Make sure you guys check the people at growgeneration.com out at their website. Links in the description boxes below. Let's talk a little bit about Tech. You guys know it's Tech Tuesday, and I'm trying to. We're eventually going to do some projects with this segment. Actually, I am going to be modding. I've got some more ghost traps, like you guys can see one of them hanging back there, and I've got some sound chips and some stuff, and we're going to be installing security cameras into the car.
Yep.
The goal is and not just the tech news, like we're about to go over some stuff, but also showing you guys some fun little projects and things like that. I really want to get into computer parts, displays, and TVs. There's like a lot of things people don't like. For example, and if you are want to, you know, hop in the comments, please do. But a lot of people don't realize what type of TV they need for what they watch or what they do. Who, and I know a lot of people that are like your dad, where it's just like whatever's the latest and greatest model. Like,
yeah, he loves to get the best.
Yeah, the best, right?
Well, not just that, but like with everything, you know, he expects things to be just right. But yeah, mm-hmm. he does his research. I've seen that man at like, you know, O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Right.
And he's looking at like motor oil and he's reading the back of the labels, like every single one of them. And then he's going to buy the exact same thing. He always does. But he wants to make sure that he gets the best.
Make sure the formula didn't change and the
yes.
synthetics are not, you know, different formulas or whatnot.
Yeah, we had high tech when I was growing up. In fact, I've never listened to a record. I've never listened to a record. We never had anything like that. My dad wanted high tech, and I still have not ever done that in my life.
And people, you can send your hate to at that comment on Twitter. Address it to Christine.
Or, yeah, make comments and be like, what the hell's wrong with you, girl?
No, I'll say that you guys see my bass when I used to play. All of them are four string, and I play with a pick most of the time. I can play finger, but that's, you know, people got their pretentious, oh, I gotta have tubes and stuff and vinyl. It's the real sound. No, it's not the real sound, guys. There's lots of videos on YouTube where people can break down the actual like quality, and I'm believe it or not, lossless audio and digital is more true to sound than your vinyl. But if you like vinyl, that's great.
It has its own little sound.
Yeah, it's its own thing.
Heard like, you know, on TV, but I haven't heard from like my own ears. So it's like it has a special sound, and you know, if that's where your brain just lights up, then that's cool. And
yeah,
maybe one day I will experience that.
Let's see if I can bring up this though. There we are. So this is on The Verge. I'm not going to go over their review, but I wanted to bring up the idea of the OnePlus watch. We have this new wearable coming out, and The Verge, they did a review on it. I just wanted to show you guys some of the video and the display and things like that of it. Wearables, Christine, Apple Watch, Samsung had the Galaxy wearables, and now OnePlus is coming out with theirs. I don't really see a need for wearables these days anymore. Like, even people with the watches don't use them. It almost gets used as just a watch, you know?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, there's some people who are watch people where mm-hmm. they collect watches. They have really nice watches. So if this is up your alley, that's great. I don't wear anything on my wrists. I find them annoying. Even bracelets. I've tried thin ones. I'm like, no, it's annoying. I don't want it. But yeah, like for me, like I would never get a smartwatch. I would not want that. But you know, if you find this useful, that's great. I don't know. What do you think of them?
I have this thing about logic, and in my mind, this device, it's got, you know, it's got a clock on it. It's got, you know, the ability to talk to people via text, and this really, really unique function some of you guys might not know about. I gotta bring it up because it doesn't get used very, very often, and that's this really nifty phone function that makes like phone calls where you talk with your voice. I only wore a watch when I went to the field or was deployed, because I didn't always have this in my pocket at those times.
Yeah, or like sometimes maybe you don't have a pocket. Like some ladies, like our pants or our dresses don't have pockets. Mm-hmm. So maybe a watch would serve you very well. For me, and like it can be multifunctional, and that's the thing. If it's a multitasker, then great. Get it, you know, and I know, like, you know, people a long time ago with Fitbit and all that, like you put your apps on it and stuff. If that's what you need, then that's great. And sometimes it just that the watch just really puts someone's outfit all together. And I know you don't care about that, but I've seen some people where it's like as soon as they get the watch, you know, that matches their shoes or whatever that they have on, and it just. It's like, yeah, you look really nice. You look really put together. And then, you know, with a watch that does more than just tell your time, that can be great. So I'm not against it. I just know that I won't be getting one.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like the average person might benefit from the ability to see who's calling. Instead of dinging around in your pocket, maybe
or your purse
or your bag, like when I was again deployed or in the field, this usually went. I have a little itty bitty Pelican hard case, and my electronics would go in there. You know, water, weather resistant, shock resistant, all that stuff, and then I can kind of see where the Bluetooth functionality and all of that can come into play, but the costs of wearables are one thing. The technology that they try to put in them, and the new OnePlus watch is only $160, which is not a bad point. And it's very basic. I'll bring up The Verge's. They got a nice little breakdown right here of their opinion on this, some of the goods and bads, the price, the screen, the fit and finish. These are all things that you look for in a watch, mm-hmm. not necessarily a wearable. And here's the bad stuff: the third party apps for the watch faces, no voice assistant, limited notification options. The fitness and sleep tracking, honestly, guys, I like multitaskers, but when it's like a budget thing like this, if you're into wearables for fitness, I would suggest that you get a wearable designed for tracking fitness. Research, because they're not one size doesn't fit all, but
yeah.
Even like Samsung's fitness trackers, their sleep stuff, they're not as great as some of the ones that you can get that on dedicated devices.
Yeah.
So, only comes in one size big. I like that. That's funny. But the price point is good. This right here is what bugs me most, though, because that to me is the key about a wearable watch. It's being able to clearly see who's calling, who's texting, maybe the first few words of the text, a good scrolling option so you can see it. There's times when you're in meetings where that's beneficial. You can
discreetly take a look.
You know,
yeah,
I'm one of those types. If I get a text message, because of the world that we live in, because I'm a parent, I want to make sure things are okay. So if I get a text message, I'm going to look and at least make sure it's not an emergency, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So that right there is like a point to me where I'm like, $150 watch, if it had great notification options, and I'm always a big supporter of authorizing as much third-party development as you can.
Yeah.
Open source is like the lifeblood of computers and technology and the ability to program things, write programs and get them up on other platforms it's so important. You know, we're using OBS Studio to record this and it's open source. It's this awesome free recording program that I've, you know, been playing around with and trying to make our lives better. And I like that. And that's what technology is supposed to do. It's supposed to enhance our lives. And wearables looked to do that. So many companies, Apple and Samsung, started getting caught up in the fitness tracker, the GPS tracker, the listen to music through the watch or talk to people through. Like, this isn't that James Bond, you know? I don't know why some people would be like, this is very, very cool, but having a Bluetooth earpiece in is lame. Like, I still get odd looks using a, you know, riding my scooter in a store.
I swear to God, I'm not talking to myself. I've got, you know, something
well,
in.
Well, no, people look at you weird for having a Bluetooth, like.
Oh, well, that too, yeah.
That. Also, I can't stand people that think this is hands-free.
Like, no, it's not. But, you're using a hand to do it.
Yeah. What do you think? I don't see. This is a very niche type device, wearables. The one thing I do think is the future to a degree is AR, augmented reality. The iPhone episode of Futurama.
Yeah. How do you install it?
Right.
I'll tell you after I do it.
Because the freaking ice picking a hammer.
Oh, God.
When it comes to augmented reality, people think about like Google Glasses and stuff like, or Google Glass, I think it just was.
Yeah.
And there's all sorts of security things. You all of a sudden have those people with the like infrared eyeglasses that would shoot out IR light to try to block facial recognition and all of that. Like, we got to deal with the security stuff. Yeah, we can't. People are already walking around filming you unknowing to you with tiny devices.
Or just with their phones.
Or just with their phones.
Yeah, just pick it up and point it.
You got to look at your state laws and realize if you're in a single party consent state and realize that if you are, like we are, that you could legitimately be recorded at any time and location. Federal property is different and all that, but
yeah,
like there's some security things, but I think AR, augmented reality, I want that. I want a heads up display and like the Iron Man map. I want to be able to like what we've got in fighter jets, and I'm sorry about the focus, guys. I'm using an older Canon, and it only focuses on one thing because I'm not great at the settings. But heads-up displays on cars now. We're so used to them in video games, and I kind of want that. I think
it would be great for some people. Me, it would be a distraction. It would be a safety issue.
In a car, but what about walking around? Like, imagine again, like, for those of you, let me see if I can bring it up if you've never seen the iPhone episode of Futurama, the killer, Attack of the Killer app is what it was called.
You can just go to images and they'll show
it's absolutely awesome. And I'm going to bring up YouTube is what I'm going to do as soon as their little ad goes away. Because, again, I'm not quite sure on the legality crap.
Yeah.
So, come on, Mick, you know, Mick app thing, go away. There we go. Yeah, the iPhone is great. And I want this type of thing for, like, when you're walking in a city and you're you know, you don't want to hold your phone out and like try to follow the map, having a heads up display and the arrow in front of you, you know, keep walking north, turn left on 22nd.
Yeah.
That's all kind of fun sounding to me. What about you? What do you think about like AR in that sense where it might be used for walking around, not necessarily on cars and stuff.
Like a GPS, because some people, mm-hmm. like myself, need finding places. yeah, and you could just... I would like it to where you could just, like, switch it off. Like, obviously, you would be able to do that. Shut up and take my phone.
I love the fact it's like, do you have any in stock? I don't know.
Let me check. And then, of course, there is.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, it's almost like I want to just stop doing the show and watch Futurama now. No, you were saying the augmented reality walking around. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it can be distracting for me. But yes, a little help would be great. Maybe you could just like have that restaurant like right there and you can just look at it like, okay, look that up. How many stars? Ooh, 2 stars? Yeah, I'm not eating there. Instead of having to like search it on your phone and if it made it quicker, you know, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, turn this off. Otherwise, we're just gonna watch the episode even in silence because I already know the words being said. I like that idea. Once you get over the security stuff.
Yeah, and find a way to. Safe, because it's like you're always being tracked. Like of course we've talked about this thousands of times where it's like you'll mention something near your phone and next thing you know it's like
you got an ad for that like, device, yeah,
stalking me, you know.
Crazy. The thing about technology and I can't remember her if it was a Simon Whistler channel or maybe it was Austin Evans channel, someone was talking about the technology that we have today basically exists because of science fiction writers of yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, Gene Roddenberry from Star Trek, Jules Verne, who did the time machine. I'm missing a writer, 19th, 20th century.
I can't place it right. Writer,
Time Machine, Wiki, because it's just easier to do with that. Wells, okay. H.G. Wells. Yeah. Those guys created, you know, the ideas of rocket ships to the moons, submarines to the bottom of the ocean, touch screen computers.
Hovercraft,
teleportation, all this stuff. But in the entertainment world, we have almost got everything from science fiction. And it's not necessarily the greatest. The video, and I can't remember it off the top of my head, so whoever did it, I'm sorry if I'm, you know, crediting wrong people. But, like, touchscreens are great and all on these devices, but... Your computer screen, your TV screens, not as much, but people wanted that. They didn't think about fingerprints on your computer screen. You know, they were just like, oh, look how cool it is. In Star Trek, you're touching these screens and stuff, and stuff happens.
They weren't like looking. They were looking at the blank, like the screen with, like, you know, you could press just that yep. flat surface, but it's not. You're not watching something off of it, you know. So, like, yeah, with like a. Mm-hmm. A tablet or even sometimes my phone, I'm like constantly having to wipe it off, and
yeah,
you know, so it gets annoying. And then also, you mentioned Star Trek. I'm still waiting for the machine to give me food that I want right now.
Oh yeah, the synthesizer is it called?
Something like, I don't remember at the top of my head. It's a Tuesday and it feels like a Monday. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like I want In-N-Out. Like right now, In-N-Out Burger. You just say exactly what you want, and poof, there it is. And yeah, I don't have to fly all the way to the West Coast to get it, you know.
Yeah, that would be great. And teleportation, which oh god, can't I'd happen, love that.
Yeah,
god.
It would be cool.
Put the airliners out of business real fast.
Because some of them, they're a holes. They're giant a holes.
Yeah. The interesting thing that the video pointed out, though, is like throughout history, technology's been driven by this wasn't part of the video, this is me coming in, and technology's driven by two things: one, to make life easier and more efficient. We're lazy by nature, guys. I know I say that, and then you're like, well, look at the pyramids, look at Stonehenge, New Grain, like, I got it. I'm not saying that we can't do big, great, great work, but give almost any human the option of do it the easy way at the same quality, or do it this hard way at the same quality, they'll take the easy way.
Yeah.
So comfort, efficiency, make our lives better, longer, easier. That drives technology. And then the second thing that drives technology more than anything else in history, from the 1700s, so 18th century forward, we're talking Industrial Revolution, war.
Yeah.
Military.
Maybe a third people's imaginations, obviously, but that, give them credit.
But that is usually rolled into whether they're trying to make life easier or destroy their enemies with extreme prejudice. Either way, those are the two biggest drivers of technology. And we have reached a point where we're not seeing so many technical evolutions. We're not seeing so much new tech as refining the tech that we have. Mm-hmm. We're getting phones that last longer, they're faster, you know, more
better quality, like
better screens,
yeah, or cameras.
But it's still stuff. This is still the same device, guys, that we had in 2008 with the original iPhone. It's a phone that can text on a full color screen, take pictures, play videos off the internet, and store information, songs, pictures, there's no difference in actual, like, function.
Yeah.
From the first, go back to Blackberries from REM. You know, that they even had a device that did videos, storage, talk, text.
Yeah, and to go back around with the watch, it's essentially the same thing, but mm-hmm. now it's just, like, on your wrist.
Yeah.
So.
And that, I think, is kind of scary, because now it's like war drove so much. It gave us the internet. It gave us jet engines. It gave us a lot of plastics and medical equipment. Like, guys, you have no idea how much stuff came out of the Cold War alone that yeah. went from, you know, whether it was the Soviets or ARPA slash DARPA over here in the United States. A lot of stuff that, you know, starts out on military R&D once the private sector gets a hold of it and realizes what they can do for the average consumer. our lives have been made amazing with stuff that was originally designed to help one nation annihilate another.
Yeah.
And while we still have conflict, we don't have the
it's not the same as what it used to be. It's not a, I mean, yeah, we put boots on the ground, but we're not like human to human contact as much as we did before,
right.
Like with, you know, World War I, World War II, and having so many people,
it's all like,
you know, pass away from
proxy
that.
Wars and insurgencies versus occupations, and I don't want to get into the politics of it, but we're now kind of seeing this technology turn. Like I said, we're doing is making what we have better or more efficient. We're not really getting any real new innovations, and that's a scary thought, because it's like, have we reached the pinnacle?
Now I think that, you know, we'll have people come up with stuff. You know, humans have great imaginations. We can come up with some amazing stories, and then we pull from the stories to create stuff. So. I still think that, you know, we can do more. Like, look at drone tech. I mean, it's gotten better, and people can play with it themselves, and all of that. And I know that's not like brand new, but I do think that there will be something. And I'm glad that it's not, you know, brutal war related anymore.
Hopefully,
yeah. Even now, like, I don't think that, you know, it's going to be like that. At least I'm hopeful that, you know, we're not gonna, you know, we'll never, I don't think there will be a World War III. I don't. And I hope that there won't be a World War III, because so many people had died from the World Wars. And so it's, times have changed. Tech has changed in a good way. And how we get our tech, I think, will change as well. Like, you know, like with the internet, all the things on the internet. All the things that we do with the internet have changed how we do things. And, you know, that wasn't like, I know, like dating apps and all types of different apps and meditation apps and games and stuff like that. Like, you know, I think, you know, things aren't going to be as bloody and gory, which is good.
Yeah, we could hope.
Yeah.
I get worried, like I said, about the stale, because we can already kill each other from miles away with you know, all sorts of devices, and thousands and thousands of miles away with, you know, ICBMs and bombers and yeah. There's everything, again, I think, is like driven towards this comfort. This lack of a better phrase, even laziness in some points.
Yeah.
And I'll point back to like your dad wanting to have like the latest and greatest TV, but what he watches, your dad could save a lot of money and time buying a high quality 1080p screen with an actual 60 hertz, not the CMR or whatever, but like an actual 60 hertz, because your dad doesn't like the smooth motion. He doesn't like...
I haven't asked him, so I'm assuming that you've had a conversation with him about it.
He didn't seem to be a fan of like what I do, where I, you know, reduce motion blur on computer games and stuff, because I'm looking for sharpest, cleanest, fastest image, not... realism. But different things like that could save money, because what he does, he's not a gamer, doesn't watch as much sports as he used to. Like, they do watch movies, and OLEDs are great because of the ability, you know, shut off for black, you know, pure whites with all the, you know, LED is fully on and all that. But your father also tends to watch TV in a darker room and in the afternoon, evening, when outside light isn't necessarily as big of an issue. So
yeah,
again, right, an OLED, isn't necessarily the best. Maybe a like Samsung's quantum panels with the individual lighting zones. So instead of one big backlight for your LED TV, it's a bunch of smaller backlights. So that way, when when the image is trying to show black, if you don't need as much backlight, it's an area that is able to dim, area dimming.
Yeah, and I'm sure he'll do his research whenever he gets a new TV.
And I was just using him as an
example. Right. Yeah.
And that's one of the things I want to do with the tech segment, guys. I want to be able to point out, hey, what do you want the TV for? What do you want this monitor for your computer for? Are you a gamer? Are you a movie person? Are you an audio visual, you know, an AV file? Because if you know what quality video or quality audio, and I know we don't have the best for this show, guys. We're working on it all.
Yeah, we have to
fun stuff playing with it, but yeah. I want to be able to help you guys with the things that I do know, and even if I don't know, I want to research it. I want to get into it, and I
we'll do the work for you.
I miss technology so much. It's such a pervasive part of our lives that you don't even notice it that much anymore.
Yeah.
So I want to get back into it, and I owe a lot of my renewed interest in technology to some YouTubers and it's been fun to start digging into this world again, and so Tech Tuesdays, expect it to stick around, guys. Like I said, do some projects, and by all means, I'm not the world's foremost knowledgeable person by any means necessary on everything, but I do know quite a bit about a lot, and I am good at researching, and I would love to be here for you guys as part of your decision making process when buying tech. That would be great. So please write in any questions, suggestions, projects, things you guys might like to see. If you're interested in, while I'm still learning the software side of streaming and tuning audio and all that, if you're interested in seeing like the setups that we do have, you know, like I've got a Soundcraft Notebook 12, is it 12FX or 12X soundboard, and I can, no, we can do stuff like that. So let us know. So we got to talk a little bit about what fandoms and technology today, and you know, we were going to talk about some other things, but I think that'll do. What do you think? Good.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Yeah. You guys check out LRMonline.com every day for all of your entertainment news needs and opinions. And I just realized that, you know, I've got this awesome freaking studio thing, and I can actually, you know, bring up, yay, look at that, I can actually, you know, show our what is that, go here every day for all of your entertainment news needs and opinions, guys. Lots of great stuff on there. Check out the YouTube channel, amazing amount of great celebrity interviews.
Why is
we
the
have
show of
all sorts of let's see, I'm not even signed into the network, that's great. We have all sorts of celebrity interviews, we have all these amazing shows and all these podcasts, LR Morning, Breaking Geek, The Cantina, Marvel Multiverse Mondays, all available on wherever you get your podcast from, as well as SoundCloud, Spotify. The greatest thing in the world you can do is hit this subscribe button. I'm not logged in to any accounts, so that's why it's not checked. I'm definitely subscribed on like 8 different accounts. Oh, man. Hit that. Hit the notification bell so you be alerted whenever new content goes up. We're getting exclusive trailers and clips, interviews. We've actually got, I can say it. We've got an interview with Gal Gadot coming up. It's a phone interview, but yeah, LRM Online YouTube channel. Check it out. And I'm at that Kyle Malone on Twitter, at that one Kyle Malone on Instagram, and go away. There we go. Christine, are you ever going to come back to the world of social media so people can tell you what a terrible person you are?
I have a Facebook, and it's been, over a year, and I still haven't deleted it.
I think two years.
I haven't been on it in 2 years. You'll have to check it for me. I don't even remember my password. I have to dig it up, and I really don't want to do it.
Right.
Maybe one day.
Yeah, so if you guys want to yell at her, hit the comment section below. And thank you guys so much for listening, and we will talk to you tomorrow.